right, if you will, grab your Bibles and go to the Old Testament book of Micah. Micah chapter 5. It may take you a second or two as you look that up in your Old Testament. Toward the back of the Old Testament, so close to the middle of your Bible probably, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, all those small prophetic books. Today's message isn't going to be your typical Christmas message, but I believe it's an important truth to understand. It's a fascinating truth as well. And we're going to be looking at a well-known prophecy concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. More than likely, the first part you know about. We will look at that, and then we're going to move on to the last part, which is not so often talked about. Hopefully, it'll be some instruction for you this morning. We have lots of scripture that we're going to be looking at today, so get your fingers ready. We're going to be moving through some scripture to explain the point that we're going to be looking at. But Micah 5, verse 2, just for reference, what the prophet Micah writes here was written 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 5, verse 2, he says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Let's pray, and we'll get into this scripture today. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for a time that we can gather together as brothers and sisters and remember our Savior. Lord, as I was reminded this morning, every Sunday is a Christmas Sunday. Every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday. It's a time for us to remember Jesus, his birth, his death, his resurrection. Help us to not be like this world that only goes to Christmas and Easter, but Lord, every day, every Sunday, may we remember and worship and dedicate our life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we just sung about it in the last song, may we forsake our ambitions. May we forsake our own will to do His will, His goal, His business. Help us this morning as we search your scriptures out in this truth that you would lead us and guide us according to your Holy Spirit. Be with me as I bring it forward unto your people. May it be clear. May it be something they can understand. And may we be instructed more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you again for the word that you have given to us. I pray that you would bless it now unto your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Most of the time when we come here to Micah 5, verse number 2, we focus on the prophecy concerning the birthplace of the Messiah, which of course we know is Jesus Christ, and rightfully so. Up to this point in Israel's history, all they knew was that a Messiah was coming. They did not know when he was coming, and they did not know where he was coming from. They just knew a Messiah was coming. Here in Micah 5, verse 2, God speaks through his holy prophet, and he tells the nation of Israel where their ruler, where their Messiah would be born. And that would be in the little town of Bethlehem, in the territory of Judah. Now, unlike other prophecies concerning the Messiah, this one was well known by the people. They knew that their Messiah, their ruler, their king, would be born in Bethlehem. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. If you were here with us last year, we looked at most of the prophecies surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Many of them were totally missed by the people. This one was not. They knew that their Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2, we're given the story of the wise men. And I want you to notice, let's start reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, that's Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. How do they know that? For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So Micah's prophecy was well known, at least this portion of his prophecy. The people knew, especially the religious leaders, they knew that their Messiah, their Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, if you read Matthew 2 and Luke 2, you'll see that that's exactly where Jesus was born. His birthplace fulfilled Micah's prophecy, proving that he was indeed the promised Christ, the one who is to be ruler in Israel. But if you will, go back with me to Micah chapter 5. Hopefully you kept your finger there or something there. Have to find it all over again. I'm going to focus on that last part. Again, most of us know that Jesus fulfilled this first part, this prophecy of being the coming ruler born in Bethlehem of Judah. But I find something very interesting and fascinating at the end of the verse, and I want us to dwell on this morning. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice this now. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I want you to notice two things from this phrase. First, Micah was telling Israel that the one who was coming to be their ruler had always existed. His going forth was from everlasting. Meaning this ruler who was coming wasn't just a mere man. It was an eternal being. Yes, he would have a human birth in Bethlehem, but that was not the beginning of his existence. Micah says it like this from the Holy Spirit. He was from everlasting. Go with me, if you will, to Habakkuk chapter 1. It's just two books over. Micah, then Nahum, Habakkuk. Probably just a few pages for you. Habakkuk or Habakkuk. Chapter 1, verse number 12. I want you to notice something. This, we're just going to read one verse here. You can look up the phrase from everlasting, used many times in your Old Testament, all referring to one person. Here's one such example, Habakkuk 1, verse 12. The prophet says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? There's only one being from everlasting. Again, search up that phrase some point. There's only one being from everlasting. And according to the Bible, that's the Lord God. So if the ruler being born in Bethlehem was from everlasting, then what do we know about this ruler born in Bethlehem? He's more than just a mere man. He's the Lord God from everlasting. And do you know that's exactly what Jesus claimed to be? He didn't just claim to be a mere man. He claimed to be the eternal God in human flesh. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is one such example of Jesus Christ claiming to to be the Lord God. John 8, let's start reading in verse number 56. If you were here with us a few months ago, we went through these verses. But Jesus is speaking with the religious authorities. And we're just going to pick up there in verse number 56. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. And they said, How is that possible? Abraham's been dead over 1,000 years. You're not even 50 years old. Jesus said unto them, verse 58, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And they knew exactly what he was claiming, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Who was Jesus claiming to be? He was claiming to be the Lord God. He was claiming to be Jehovah. He was claiming to be the self-existent one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am. And they knew that, which is why they were going to stone him for it. Did Jesus have a human birth in Bethlehem? Yes. But that was not the beginning of his existence. Micah tells us he was from everlasting. He was the one in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. You see, what took place in Bethlehem was the Son of God being birthed in a human body. But it was not the beginning of the Son of God. He had existed from everlasting. Go with me, if you will, John chapter 1. John starts off his gospel by making this truth known. He wants his readers to know who Jesus is. John 1, let's start reading in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So whoever this Word is, he was there in the beginning with God. Wasn't just with God, he was God. Who is this Word? Go down to verse number 14. John makes it very clear. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who was this Word that it existed from all of eternity in the very bosom of the Father, who was very God, Jesus Christ? And John starts his gospel by letting you know that we're not dealing with just a mere man. He did robe himself in humanity, but we are talking about the eternal Son of God coming down in human flesh. Back, if you will, to Micah chapter 5. This is what Micah is saying in the statement here. This ruler who was coming was from everlasting. But I want you to notice a second thing from this phrase that is often overlooked. Let's read it again, the last part there. The prophet says, whose goings, you see that plural there? Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. What's Micah telling the people? He's telling them that the one who was coming forth in Bethlehem had gone forth many times before. Now, his coming forth in Bethlehem would be his first time in human flesh. But he had gone forth from heaven many times before. His goings, plural, forth, have been from of old. Before we get into this point, I want to lay some groundwork. Go back with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 18. Some truth to remind you of before we get into this point. John 1, verse 18. The Bible says this: "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So here's the truth. The Bible says this: no one has seen God. Why? John 4, 24. God is a spirit. He's an invisible, immaterial being. His essence is spirit. Who declares him? Who manifests him? Who makes him known? The Bible says the Son does. We know that the Son today is called Jesus Christ. But the truth, according to the Bible, is this: you cannot see God the Father, but you can know him, and he is made known unto you through the Son. Now go with me to John chapter 6. Still laying some groundwork here. Jesus himself, John 6, verse 46. Jesus says, "Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." So according to Jesus, no one has seen the Father. Only one person has seen the Father. And that's the Son. We know him today by the name of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. At the end of verse number 13 of Colossians 1, Paul brings up the Son. In verse 14, he tells us what we have in the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now notice verse number 15. Who are we talking about? The Son. Who is the image of the invisible God. So we learn two truths here. One, God is invisible. John 4, 24, he's a spirit. He's an immaterial being. He's invisible. No one can see God. But secondly, we learn this. God has an image. Who is the image? Who is the form of the invisible God? The Son. Again, we know him today as Jesus Christ. Before he came, John 1:1, he was known as the Word. The Word. One more, Hebrews chapter 1. We following this morning? Hebrews 1. Start reading in verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Notice this now. Who? We're talking about the Son. being the brightness of His glory. Notice this. And the express image of His person. Who is the express image of God? Jesus Christ, the Son, the Word. This is why Jesus said in John 14:9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." You can't see the Father because He's invisible, but you can see His image, and His image is the Son, the Word. We know Him today as Jesus Christ. Now, with those truths in mind, go with me to Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to show you four examples of many. And I'm going to list just some of the many once we get done looking at the four. Again, we're thinking about this phrase, whose goings, plural, forth, have been from of old. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord, that's Jehovah God. See the all caps there? And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he, that's Abraham, sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Go down to verse 22. We don't have time to read all of this, but go down to verse 22. It makes it clear again who we're talking about. There are three men there. The Bible says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Three men, two leave. They're going to go check out Sodom and Gomorrah where Lot is. Abraham stays with the one. Who is the Lord? So the Lord visibly appears to Abraham in a bodily form. And he and Abraham have a quite extensive conversation. You read it. Question for you. Who is Abraham speaking to? Who is Abraham seeing? The Bible says no one can see God, but this is God. But who is the express image that can be seen from God? The Son. Who is Abraham talking to? They call it in theology the pre-incarnate Christ. That's Christ before his incarnation. Who is very God and can claim the Lord as his name. Abraham speaking to the Word. Jesus was not known as Jesus. He was the Word. He was the Son who always was in the bosom of the Father. This is what Micah was talking about. The Word had gone forth from heaven many times before. And here is one such example. The Word went forth from heaven down to earth and in a visible, tangible way talked with Abraham. Genesis 32. Micah said, goings forth, plural. So that means more than once. And there was definitely more than once. Genesis 32, though, we have another example. Genesis 32. Let's start reading in verse number 22. The Bible says he rose up that night, this is Jacob, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Why? "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Jacob knew this by the time this exchange was done. He had met God. He had seen God face to face. But if no one can see God, if no one can see the Father, who did Jacob come face to face with? The express image of his person, Jesus, the Word, the Son who always manifests in a visible form, the Father from heaven. Exodus 24. Micah was right. His goings forth have been from of old. Exodus 24. We'll start in verse number 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Who did Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and these 70 men, who did they see? The one who always goes forth from the Father in heaven to be his express image here on the earth. They saw the Word. They saw the Son, who is very God. One more, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3, we'll start reading in verse 23. I would assume most know this story well. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who was this fourth person walking in the fire with these three Hebrew men? It was the Son of God. The Word sent forth from heaven to deliver these men from their fiery trial. We don't have time to look at the many other examples that scriptures record, but think with me if you will. Who walked and talked with Adam in the garden? The Bible says the Lord God, Genesis 3, verse number 8. But who was that? The Word. It was the Word who was sent forth from heaven to walk and talk with Adam. Who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and spoke with him? The Bible says it was the Lord, Exodus 3, verse 4. Verse 8 says the Lord had come down to deliver his people. Well, who is the one that comes down from the Father in heaven and visibly manifests the presence of God? The Word. Who appeared and talked with Joshua? In Joshua 5, 14 and 15. It was the Word. Who appeared and talked with Samson's parents? In Judges 13, 22. It was the Word. Who appeared and stood in the way of Balaam and his donkey? Numbers 22, 22. It was the Word. Who came and touched Elisha in 1 Kings 19, 7? It was the Word. Micah was right. His goings forth have been from of old. If you will, go back with me to Micah 5. We've looked at a lot today, but let me review what we've learned. One. Israel's ruler, Israel's Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. We won't turn there, but again, Luke 2, verse 4 tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. If you're wondering if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, just study the prophecies surrounding his birth, life, death, and a resurrection. And you will come away with this conclusion. He is the Christ. But secondly, Micah teaches us this. This ruler is no mere man. He would be the eternal God in human flesh. Again, we won't turn back. But John 1:1 and verse 14 tell us this. Jesus was and is the eternal God, now in human flesh. And the third thing Micah teaches us is this. He has been very active in man's history. From of old. This ruler who was coming had gone forth many times before. He had left heaven, come down to the earth, to be the visible manifestation of the Father unto certain people. All of these Old Testament examples that we have looked at are all examples of the Word, before he was known as Jesus, going forth from heaven down to the earth and manifesting God as God unto these people. You say, well, what took place differently than in Bethlehem? this eternal God would now be born of a woman and put on human flesh. We won't talk about what type of body he had. I believe it was more of an angelic body. But when he came in Bethlehem, he came now in a human body of flesh. To be what? Again, the visible manifestation of God on the earth. And he lived among us. You study those Old Testament examples, they're come and go fairly quickly. This time he would come and not leave very quickly. He would live among us for decades, 30 some odd years. He would then die on a cross in his body of flesh, bearing the sins of the world in his body of flesh. He would lay in a tomb for 3 days. And then he would rise again in a human body to be the glorified Son of God. 40 days later, he would ascend back into heaven, where again now he is with the Father in unity. But Micah tells us this, and I find it fascinating. The one who was coming had come many times before. What was Jesus doing before he came? Lots. Going forth from heaven as very God to declare God to many different people. Hopefully that was instructive for you this morning. Again, a little bit different of a Christmas message. But who we're celebrating the birth of is the eternal Son of God, who has been so very active in human history. Let's pray.